I'm Presley.
And I'm Connor.
And this is the Server Life Podcast, where we candidly talk about the glamorous lifestyle of the service industry.
We share some of our own stories, along with some of yours, so we can all laugh and realize that we are not alone in this.
So feel free to subscribe, stick around, and join the conversation.
We love reading your comments, especially when it's praise. For me.
Hey guys, it's Connor and Presley here, and we are well aware of the craziness happening in the world right now, but we wanted to kind of slow things down for a minute and take your mind somewhere tropical. Hernan, cue the music. Close your eyes. Imagine you're on an island. It's sunny, 75, you have a margarita in your hand, you hear the palm trees playing in the wind, and then you wake up because you overslept and you have to clock in 15 minutes. Woo! Okay, guys, sorry to burst your bubble, but we are snapping back to our reality, and we're going to be talking about pet peeves today. Back by popular demand, you guys seem to love to listen to us bitch about our jobs. Mm-hmm. So here we are.
It's what servers do best.
It's what we do best. I hope that you guys enjoyed that little tropical vacation. Did you?
Yeah, until you so cruelly snatched it away from us.
Hey, it's just a nice little wake-up call for all these restaurants reopening and taking us away from this lovely vacation time that we've had. I know. So, pet peeves. I'm going to start off with one that I was thinking about, I want to say about a week ago. It just randomly came to me. I went to my refrigerator to grab something while I was cooking, and it was gone. So one of my biggest pet peeves is if you kill it, you fill it. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing about this pet peeve that drives me crazy is some restaurants are so anal about it that if you kill it and you don't fill it, whoever killed it, they will find you and they will kill you. But then other restaurants are like, no, fuck that. That's a stupid rule. Everybody helps each other out. But then if you don't imply that rule, then it's like nothing is ever filled, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've worked at places that were really strict, like, kind of all around, and there were a lot of rules. I feel like if you kill it, you fill it is a good rule, but yeah, I've also worked at places that had, like, hardly any rules, and it was just so shitty if you were in the weeds, and then you'd be like, I need lemons, and you'd go to grab lemons, and we're like, cool, we have no fucking lemons, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like,
yeah. No,
whatever.
Yeah, I like the chiller places that are like, you know, kill it, fill it. It's basic courtesy. But if it's not done, you're understanding and you're able to pick up the slack because it's not something that happens all the time. But boy, I had my fair share of working at places and I didn't fill it and they found me. But every time somebody's like, who did this? I'm always, if I did it, I'm the one to like, raise my hand and go, it was me! Like, I tattletale on myself immediately.
Yeah.
You know this.
I own up to my shit, too. If they're like, whose is this? I'm like, it's mine. I'm sorry. I'll take it to dish in a minute.
Yeah. Honesty gets you a long way in the industry, I feel. Yeah.
I'm like you, though. Overall, I'd rather work at a chill place. Because some of the places I've worked that were so uptight, it's just like, it adds to your anxiety. I understand that, like, having the rules and the structure is to help everything flow smoothly, but sometimes it's just like there's too much blaming and rule checking and responsibility where you're like, can we just work together and get our shit done? You know what I mean? Instead of like, oh, well, did you sign off this? Did you check this? Did you? It's like, okay, relax.
Yeah, totally. You have any big pet peeves?
I guess I don't like when I'm busy and guests ask me like very deep conversational questions, like be a little bit aware. Mm. You know what I mean? Like I'm all for being friendly and like chatting at my tables. But if you see me like hoofing it and there's clearly, you know, we're on a wait, things are crazy. It's not the time to be like, so where are you from? What brings you out here? Uh-huh. Oh, that's funny. My roommate in college actually was from New Hampshire, too. Yeah, he was telling me once about this town. I'm like, my hands are full of plates. I'm sweating. I don't want to stand here and listen to what your college roommate told you about New Hampshire. Sorry.
Yeah, where they set it up to where you really can't exit the convo. And there are situations like that where it's like silly things that, you know, are you don't even care to hear about to begin with. But also on that, it really bothers me because sometimes a table comes in and they're really genuine and they're cool and it's like a great conversation. And it gets so intense that you literally can't walk away from the conversation and all your other tables are staring at you and you are intentionally ignoring them. That because it puts you in such a shitty situation, you know? I feel like that happens to me quite often.
Yeah, like I love chatting when I have the time. Like, it's great to, like, if somebody wants to talk, I'm all for it. But, yeah, sometimes you get really deep in a conversation and you're like, even though I'm enjoying this, I can't right now. I have shit to do.
Yeah. Another pet peeve. When dudes, well, I guess people, but for me, dudes, because I'm a girl with boobs, when dudes stare at me, when I'm trying to do my job and they're just like gazing at me, and if it's at the table that I'm taking the order from or the table next to me, it drives me crazy because I'm a very attentive server. So if I see it, most of the time I'm like, hey, do you need something? And they're like, no. It's like, okay, then stop looking at me. Like, I'm just trying to do my job, bro.
Yeah, can't say I've experienced that, but I wouldn't hate it. I feel like I'd be all right if dudes were staring at me.
You don't feel like people stare at you because of the way that you look?
Why? Because I'm so grotesque that they just have to, like, stare at me mouth agape, and they're like, is he real? Is that Shrek?
Oh my god, Connor, no.
No, people don't not stare at me all. Unless they think I look like Sam from Game of Thrones, which people love to tell me. It's like,
that happens to you quite
often. It happens
quite
to me
often.
So often, and it's like, fine, whatever, but like, I see some of the similarities for sure, but I'm significantly taller, we're built a little differently, we're both heavy, we have similar facial features. But, like, I'll walk up to a table, and sometimes they'll just be like, has anyone ever told you? And I'm like, yep, Sam from Game of Thrones. Can I get you started with some drinks? This makes me sound like such a fat ass, but when there's food that's died and management or whoever, the cooks have said, hey, or give it to the servers, and so you're like, yes, there's, like, a turkey club right there that looks so bomb right now, and I'm so hungry, and everybody is, like, sharing, but you're too busy to stop right at that moment. And you're like, it'll be there, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so then you go and touch all your tables and run some food, do whatever. And then you come back and it's like all gone. There's just like two baby fries left. And you're like, no.
Oh, that's the worst. Because you're like so looking forward to it. And you just hate being in the weeds. And you're like, I just want that brownie. And then it's fucking gone.
Yeah. I mean, clearly I'm going to survive. It's mad. Not like I'm going to pass out if I don't get that turkey club. But it's just like, you know, when you see it and you're like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Free food. And then it's all gone.
You know, it's so funny. I'm about to call out one of our old coworkers right now. But we used to work with somebody. His name is Brett. He's an oddball, but I fucking love him. I feel like Brett was always the one that was like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, dead food. And then he'd, like, go do his rounds, wash his hands, come over. And every single time, all the food was gone. And I watch it happen.
Poor Brett.
And I'm like, it's just Brett. It always happens to Brett.
It happened to me once and people teased me because I got upset. I was getting my ass kicked. I was first in for dinner and it was that kind of thing where like the leftover lunch people were like, do you want to take that? Do you want to take that? Which we all do. I do it too. I get it. But I like walked in and was handed four tables and then got like four more and it was like, okay, cool. I'm the only one here right now and I've got eight tables. So I was hustling and then people started trickling in and they brought out a big soft pretzel for our pre-shift, like our pre-meal whatever meeting, and I saw it and was like, oh, that looks real good right now. So I tore deliberately, because I know we've learned, I was like, I'm going to tear off a little piece and put it on an app plate and like set it to the side for myself. And I did that and I just like did not get a chance to get back to it for like a solid half hour, maybe, just, you know how it goes, like it was just like go go go. I got sad again, blah blah blah. And finally I had some downtime and was like, ooh, I'm gonna go eat my pretzel. And I walked over to the server station and it was gone. And I was like, and I was so mad because I hadn't eaten anything that day. I do remember that. And I also, like, I had set it aside. You know what I mean? Like, if it was like on the main plate, I'd be like, oh, damn, I was too slow. But it was like, I deliberately planned ahead. And then I asked our coworkers at the time and was like, what happened to that piece of pretzel that was here? And somebody was like, oh, well, it sat there for so long, I thought it was just like no one was going to eat it, so I threw it out. And I was like, you what? I like hulked out, and everyone was like, are you okay? I was like, I'm fine. I'm mad now about the pretzel. I'll get over it in 2 minutes.
That's so funny, because that reminds me of, this isn't one of my pet peeves, but a lot of people that I've worked with, it's usually somebody's side work to sweep the server station or like the drink station or the break room every once in a while. And it's kind of like a known thing in the industry that if you have a drink or a beverage, it needs to be covered with your name on it. And if it's uncovered or if it doesn't have your name on it, whoever goes through and cleans it up usually will toss it out. So
right.
Some people ignore this side work, but I am kind of OCD and I like a clean area. So I'm always going to toss a glass if it, I don't know how long it's been sitting there. It's not labeled. It doesn't have a lid on it. And I've gotten into so many fights. Like people will come, they'll like get mad. Who threw this away? It was my iced tea and I just got the proportions right. And I'll step up and I'll say, bitch, put your name on it. If you love it so much, follow the rules.
Put your name on it. Come, sorry.
Put your name on it. Come
and
put your name on it. I love that
yeah,
song.
So I especially though, what gets me is when it's like, it looks like flat soda with no ice. It's like, clearly this has been sitting here since the morning shift. And then you throw that out and somebody's like, where's my Coke? And you're like, oops. there was no name and it looked warm as fuck. I apologize.
Yep. And I feel like it's on the other side of that as well, could be annoying pet peeves for guests. It's my pet peeve as a server when I watch other servers do this, but when guests order an iced tea, and most people who drink iced tea will have it totally plain, or they'll have it with like 2.5 equals and half of a real sugar packet because that's what they like. And then when servers go around to fill up iced teas with a pitcher, they just top off whatever sugar tea portion it is, and you ruin it for them. I guess it's the same way with coffee, but that drives me crazy watching other servers do that. I'm like, how do you not understand that you just ruined their little concoction that they made?
That's very, very observant and considerate. Yeah, I've done iced tea pitchers only when I've had like a large party with several iced tea drinkers, and I made sure that there were like ample sugar caddies on the table and like plenty of like lemon. I'll bring like little, you've seen me organize my lemons into like pretty little designs on app plates, which you've teased me about before. But like, if I have a lot of iced tea drinkers, I'll make sure that there's lemons and sugar caddies aplenty, and then I'll go around with the pitcher and like, and I offer too. I'm like, can I top that off for you? I don't just grab it and fill it because of that delicate balance they may have achieved.
It's a very delicate situation. PSA for all you servers that aren't as observant as we've been.
Yeah. Don't go messing with people's iced tea. Be on top of it. Be considerate. And then also though, have you ever done the thing where you accidentally like fill someone's Sprite with water? Have you ever done that? I've done that.
Oh, yeah.
It's always so embarrassing, too, if you don't catch it and they don't say anything, and then you come back over the second time and they're like, can I get another Sprite? And I'm like, oh, my God, I put water in your Sprite. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's a classic. I love it when that happens.
I mean, you just easily laugh it off, but it's awkward, especially if you can like, you're not thinking about it and you're filling what you think is their water, and then you can see in everyone's face at the table that they're like, that something's up, and you're like, this was Sprite, wasn't it? I'll be right back.
I feel like we've all been there. Okay, another pet peeve that I have to talk about. I feel like we might have mentioned it in one of our recent episodes, but I'm going to state it clearly. I hate when I finally clean my motherfucking apron after everybody's given me shit about it, and it's finally nice and boogie clean, because that's what they call them, right? Apron boogies.
Ew.
So gross. But my apron's finally my apron is finally clean, and the second I clock in, something happens. A pen explodes. I splat ketchup all over it. It's always right after I've cleaned it. After a long time, that it immediately gets destroyed and I just have to
clean it. I'm always a disaster.
Which makes me not want to clean it again.
For me, it's somehow almost always mustard. I don't know why, but somebody will be like, what's on your apron? I look down and it looks like I just like graffitied myself in mustard. And I'm like, I don't know how that happened. I have no idea. But now I have yellow splotches all over my black uniform.
Oh, classic. Classic. Another pet peeve is when my coworkers don't wash their uniforms regularly. Like, I usually will go 2-3 shifts with one uniform without washing it, which I don't know where you guys are at with hygiene, but that feels like it's an okay compromise for me. In a perfect world, I'd wear a clean uniform every fucking day. We all know that we don't have a clean uniform to wear every single day. How many days do you go between washes?
I wash every day, but it's because you know that I'm a sweaty bitch. So I feel like it's different to like for the types of people that just really aren't sweaters. Then, yeah, get a couple days out of your uniform for sure. If you're like me and you're like, well, I sweat through my undershirt and I feel like my uniform just could use a good washing. So I wash them every day.
Yeah.
The downside with that is that the color fades. Like, I know. It's a lot of detergent. It's a lot of laundry. It's probably not good for the planet. And, like, the place where we worked, our uniforms were black at one point. Mm-hmm. And the black faded so quickly because I was washing it every day. I only had 3 uniform shirts. And I would just, every third day, do a load of laundry.
Wow. See, I think it's obviously way better for people to approach it that way. But I feel like I've worked with so many people that just push the limit. Like, they needed to do laundry 3 days ago, and they crumpled up their fucking uniform and threw it in their laundry basket, and then they didn't do their laundry, and they're like, oh, gotta go to work, and then they take it out of the laundry basket, all crinkly still, and you, like, it looks like they just pulled it out of a laundry basket, and it was touching, like, a moist shower towel that it was next
and there's
to,
like,
you know?
There's, like, a mystery stain they can kind of get away with, and there's a little bit of a musty smell. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That just drives me crazy. It's there's a fine line of nasty.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other things. I feel like I had so many in my head. Oh, how about temperatures? I don't know if we've talked about this on one of our other episodes. We've bitched about so much that who even knows? But when people are like, I don't want any pink. And I'm like, okay. So, like, just cooked through, like, well done. They're like, no. And I'm like, oh, medium well? They're like, well, sometimes medium well has pink. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, like, medium is a hot pink center. Medium well is, like, slight traces of pink. And then well done is cooked through. And they're like, I want something in between, I guess. And I'm like, uh-huh. Okay. So, and then they're like, can you just tell them to do medium well plus? And I'm like, sure. And then, of course, most of us, we don't do that. I worked at a fine dining place that did steak in New York City. And that's the only place where the chef would actually accommodate like medium rare plus, because they understood the clientele and it was like expensive. And it was like, sure, we'll do our best to give them whatever they want. But everywhere else I've worked, if I go to the chef and I'm like, he wants it medium rare plus, they're like, okay, so medium rare. And I go, that sounds great.
Yeah. My response is always, okay, I'm going to push one of the options as a button, and that's how it's going to come out. What button do you want me to push? Like that's I will directly
tell. You say that to the guest.
That because,
wow, that's gutsy.
Yeah. Well, I say it in like a fun way, but also like, hey, this is how I communicate to the kitchen. I'm not going to go back and say, we want it medium well, but like kind of pink, but like a little bit well. Like that's not how it's going to be communicated to the kitchen. I'm going to press a button, and that's how it's going to come out.
Yeah.
I guess it is a little bit sassy, but
you can get away with it with your charming persona. I feel like I would just be instantly in a fight. If I was like, well, I'm going to push one of two buttons, so tell me which one. They'd be like, can we see your manager?
I think that's another thing, too. Another pet peeve is fucking having to talk to chef to tell them something like that. Like, if the guest is so pushy that they're like, I will die if there's any pink, but I do not want it not pink. And then you're like, and you have to talk to chef. That's scary too, because chef is always like,
angry. Yeah, they take it out on you. Yeah, for sure. That's always bothered me. Everywhere I've worked, it's like you go up to the line and you're just trying to do your job and communicate effectively, and 9 times out of 10, you get attitude. And it's like, do you think I made up this order for fun? Like, do you think I'm here with a list of allergies and, like, they want to rearrange the way it looks and they don't want anything yellow on the plate and they want this and this and can we do it this style? And they look at me like I'm an asshole. And I'm like, I did not tell them to order it this way. What do you want from me?
Yeah. Oh, the attitude from it's my biggest nightmare. I worked at, so I want to say about a year ago, I tried to get a second serving job. I was like, yeah, I'll get a second serving job for 3 months and stack some cash and pay off all this debt. And, you know, before my actual first shift, I quit, mostly because I just dreaded every day of training. But the head chef was a real, oh, wow. So as soon as I was almost done training for this job, I had a moment of like, okay, working with this chef is a nightmare. Literally on my my first training day in the kitchen working with this chef, I watched her snap at every single person that asked her any single question. And I was like so fearful because I'm not a perfect server and I know that I'm going to make some mistakes and I want to be able to feel comfortable communicating with my team. And that particular chef, I was so scared to go talk to her about anything, even just general questions, that it made me really not take the job eventually. I got through training and right before my first day, I was like, sorry guys, I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah. Damn. I've had chefs like that where it was just like so scary if you ever had to talk to them. And that's like, we're all on the same team. I know that we're like front of house, back of house, but we're all trying to work toward a common goal. And so when you are an asshole and you intimidate your waitstaff and everyone feels like they can't communicate with you, that's not a good working environment. You're probably going to have people make more mistakes or make assumptions that were incorrect because they wanted to avoid irritating the chef.
Mm-hmm. Which happens in a lot of places.
Yeah. So yeah. If there's any chefs that are listening, we appreciate what you do. We know it's hard to run a tight ship, but don't be an asshole to your staff because then more mistakes happen because people are nervous.
Uh-huh. PSA, be nice to your staff. All right, Con, any other pet peeves you got?
This is like, it's like conversation. People are trying to be nice, but when people say my name too much, does that bother you?
Oh my God, yes. Because they'll say it so many times just to be like, look, I'm paying attention. I see you as a person. I know your name. It's like, yeah, shut the
like fuck once or
up.
Twice is fine. Like, oh, thank you, Connor. Or, Connor, he's the best, blah, blah, blah. Like those moments are like, oh, that's nice. Like they're seeing me as a person. That's great. But when every time you touch the table, they're like, Connor, thank you. You know what, Connor, can I get another lemonade? Connor, how is the... And I'm like, you don't have to say my name every time you speak to me. It's a little weird at this point. So that's nitpicky, but it is a pet peeve. It's just like, why are you doing it? And in the same token, I don't like when you greet an 8-top and you're like, hi, everybody, my name's Connor. I'll be taking care of you. And they're like, hi, Connor. I'm Tim. That's Barbara. Sandy. That's Jeff. That's Mitch. This is Micah. And I'm like, I don't care. What would you like to drink?
God, that's, when they respond with their names, you're like, okay, cool. Like, I understand that they're like, you're a person, I'm a person, but it's like, do you know how many people I see and I have to meet a day? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a fine line.
Like, if it's different, too, if it's like, if I'm waiting on a 2-top and we've already established a good rapport and we've been joking around, I'm not crazy busy, and it's just been really nice chatting, and then they're like, anyway, we'll ask for you next time. I'm Tim, this is Barbara, you've been great, blah, blah, blah. That's totally normal. That's like, yeah, of course. Please ask for me. I'd love to see you again. But when it's like a hokey performance, like almost like an in-joke where they're like, hi, well, I'm Sam. And I'm like, okay, Sam, what would you like to drink?
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. It's pretty annoying. I guess another one, too, is while we're on the topic of going up to tables, is when guests are just there to get drunk. And it's very clear if they're there to dine and have a good time, or when they're like, hey, what's the strongest thing you have on the menu? Bring me 10. And you're like, obviously, you're a grown man. You know that I can't do that. I can bring you one or two at a time. And they're like, okay, we'll keep them coming.
Like, when it's, like, people that are, like, obviously newly 21, it's more understandable. It's still annoying, but you're like, okay, these are 21-year-olds. They're excited. I was there. Like, you just want to go out and get fucked up. Totally. It's more ridiculous when it's, like, people in their 30s that come in, and there's, again, like, it's usually, like, a 6-top or an 8-top, and they're like, what do you have that's, like, bottomless? We're looking to get hammered. And I'm like, well, I'm your server, and there's a bunch of laws and policies about how I can't overserve you. And then, like, as soon as you get to the table with a round of drinks, they're like, so, yeah, why don't you hit us with another one of those right off? I'll take a shot of whiskey as well. Do you guys want shots, too? Yeah, so we'll do another round of the drinks we just got and shots. I'm like, okay, are we ready to order any food? And they're like, no, we're going to hold off for a minute and just enjoy the drinks. I'm like, enjoy the drinks or blackout before the appetizer? Because it seems like you're on a mission.
Yeah. And I think those who work at places that do bottomless anything feel this pain, because I've worked at places that have bottomless, not all the time, but like on a Sunday or whatever, they'll do something like bottomless Bloody Marys or bottomless mimosas. And it really depends on my mood, because I've had guests come in and they're like, bottomless, please. And I'm like, well, you only have an hour left. And they're like, oh, don't worry, we can drink plenty in an hour. And then it's a race for them to see how much they can drink, which sometimes you could be like, okay, I'm going to pace you because I'm not going to get you hammered in an hour. Obviously, I can't do that. But I have served groups of really cool people that were like, let's do this. And then I kind of, and this is when I'm not crazy busy, obviously, when I can kind of go out of my way to make sure that they always have a drink without blacking them out, but, you know, making them feel good. And
yeah, I'm not saying that we're like that we're the drink police. It's just like, don't be douchey about it. Like, I've gone out with friends and I've gotten hammered at brunch. I just don't sit down and instantly be like, all right, bring me liquor, bring me another one, hit me, I'm ready. It's like, okay, just first of all, it makes your server uncomfortable because we do have to not overserve you. Just be tactful and act like an adult. Like, have a drink, chat with your friends, order another drink. I'm not going to be like, nope, sorry, you just had one. But if you're like snapping your fingers and saying, bring another, then you get my attention, you get manager's attention, the bartenders are going to say something, and then we're in a position in the first like 20 minutes where we're like, yeah, I can't bring you another one. And then it's super fucking awkward. So just drink like an adult.
Yeah, drink like an adult, or just, you know, smuggle in some mini bottles in your purse and order some Cokes. Give us a break, man.
Yeah, if you really, like, I mean, I'm not going to act like I don't ever want to turn up, but it's like, there's a difference, too, between a club and, like, having lunch, you know what I mean?
Totally.
If you're out at a club or at a bar with friends, it's a different thing if you're throwing drinks back, fine. But if you're, like, sitting at a table and it's 12:30 on a Wednesday and you're like, bring us another, I'm like, okay, well, this... You have caught the attention of management and the bar, so I can't just pour booze down your throat.
Yeah, totally. All right, other pet peeves. I'd say this is a good one. Being asked to clean up vomit or bathroom disasters. I don't get asked too often, but when I'm asked, I get very offended. Like, excuse me? Obviously, responding, that's not my job, is very frowned upon in this industry because we all have to help out. But there have been a few times when it falls down to me to go into the bathroom and clean up vomit or, you know, most of the time it's vomit. Let's be real. So gross. I'm so excited to go back to work or UConn.
Can't wait. Yeah, doing an episode of Pet Peeves, just reminding me of all the things that are irritating about serving, makes me real excited to go back. I understand that if you have that attitude of like, well, that's not my job, that it's not going to get you very far and management's going to get combative, as we've witnessed with conflict at our work over stuff like this. But in the same breath, like, it's not in our job description. Nowhere in the job description of serving, where it may say other cleaning duties, it doesn't say handling, like, biological waste. You know what I mean? So if somebody pukes in your section, I get that someone has to clean it up, but it's like, I don't make enough. I didn't sign up to be a vomit cleaner. I signed up to provide good service. And then especially, like, the vomit in your section thing, I have cleaned it up in the past. It was disgusting, but I just didn't feel like fighting. But I've also said I'm not doing that. It's just like, it's gross. But I've definitely always refused when it's a bathroom issue. When they're like, oh, there's somebody shit all over that stall in the men's room. Can you go take care of that? I'm like, you want me to leave the dining room, which is my job, to go clean up somebody's shit? No, absolutely not. That's not my job. That's never been my job. No. And they go, are you refusing? And I say, yes, I'm refusing. You can fire me if you'd like, but I know you won't. Because you're not going to fire me because I said, no, I'm not cleaning up somebody's shit when I have two tables right now. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, boy. We work with someone. I'm going to call him out. His name is Warren. Warren is a sweetheart. He does a lot of busing, bar back. He did expo for a while. But for some reason, almost every shift I've worked with him, someone shits all over the bathroom or throws up, and he'll just like mosey over to the server station with this look of dread in his face. I'm like, Warren, what's wrong? He goes, gotta clean up someone's shit, okay? Gotta clean up someone's shit again. This is bullshit, man.
Poor Warren.
It's just,
oh, that's so sad. Always Warren, him. We feel for you. I'm not volunteering to help, but I feel for you from afar.
It's someone's got to do it, and it's usually Warren. Thanks, Warren.
I did. So one of my first jobs back when I was a teenager, I worked at a grocery store back in New Hampshire. And on Sundays, there was this, so they had like a custodial staff that would do daily cleaning, but they had Sundays off. And so on Sundays, they would make somebody go and clean the bathrooms. There were two guest bathrooms and two upstairs employee bathrooms. And when I was new, it was always me, of course, because they'd schedule me that shift on purpose and be like, you're on bathrooms today. And I was like, God, what? I thought I'd be like getting carts and bagging groceries. And I'd go in there and it would so often, it would just be a nightmare. There would just be shit splatter all over the stalls. And I also, because I was a teenage boy, had never been in like a ladies' room, and I had no idea what the little trash can thingies were in every stall. And so I was like, oh, this is weird. Why do they have little trash? I was like, that's convenient. And then I opened one and I was like, oh, got it. Okay, well, that's something I didn't know before that now I do. And I hate this job. I lasted a summer and then I was like, never again. Never again will I work in a grocery store.
Oh, wow. The grocery store little garbage. Oh, gross. Okay, never mind. Let's next topic.
Sorry, I know that's gross for all of our listeners. And I'm hoping that all of the males in our listening audience that have never thought about these little trash cans or seen them before can figure out what they would be for.
Oh,
just think about it. You'll figure it out. I had no idea, though. Just naively, I was like, oh, that's nice that they give the ladies little trash cans. And then I was like, oh, got it. I'm going to try and just get through this and not think too much about what I have to do for my minimum wage.
Gotta love what we have to do to feed ourselves. It's pretty wild. Wow. Anyways, I'm sweating from laughing about that one.
Yeah. And then the men's room would just be like people like shitty handprints. I was like, why are people just like shitting in their hands and smearing it on the wall? What is this job? And one time there was like a horrible day where it was like all four bathrooms were just like hazardous waste disaster areas, and then it took me hours to get the four of them clean, and it was like the grossest thing. I was like sweating, breathing all these chemicals and fumes and nasty smells from humanity, and I finally get back down, and the manager that was on duty that Sunday was like, took you long enough, we really could have used you on the express lane during our rush earlier. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. It was me handling all of the shit and puke and menstrual blood inconvenient for you. I'm so sorry.
Hey, we're expected to do it all, Con. You should have been on the floor as well.
I didn't mean to take us off the rails so far with this one. I did not know I was going to go there. But I just, when you were talking about cleaning up vomit, I was like, oh my God, this takes me back to being 17 and working at that grocery store.
Speaking of cleaning up gross stuff, pet peeve, when people put gum under restaurant tables, still to this day. It's 2020. Adults go into restaurants and put gum.
I've never understood the impulse. Even back in school, when people would stick it under desks, I was like, why? How hard is it to get up and spit this in the trash can by the door? Or like spit it into a gum wrapper or a piece of paper. You're in school. Rip off a corner of a paper you were doodling on and put your gum in it. I never understood the impulse to stick it underneath things. I don't get it.
I don't either. It's so gross. And like, I don't want to touch gum after it's been in. Like, you have to put it on in your hand and then stick it to something. And it's so gross. And then when you have to clean it up, it's like, man, it's slow. Manager's like, keep yourself busy. You know what hasn't been done in a while? Go do a gum scrape. You're like, ugh, I'm way too overqualified.
It's always used as busy work, too. They're like, oh, you have time to lean? Or they catch you, like, sending a text. They're like, wow, well, I saw some gum on 304. I'm like, ugh, God, how did I end up here?
How did we end up here? Okay. Back to pet peeves. Let's try and shift this into not a nasty direction. How are we gonna do this? Okay.
Yeah. What other bodily functions can we bring up?
How about being cold? Here's a big popular pet peeve is when guests come in and they're like, "Oh my God, it's like really cold in here. Can you like turn it off? Like turn the heat on, maybe?" And our response is always, yeah, let me go talk to a manager. And we never go talk to a manager because we're sweating our titties off. And it's the perfect temperature for everyone to either wear a sweater or be a little bit on the warm side.
Yeah. I understand, I've been in some restaurants where you walk in and you're like, this is unreasonably cold. And I've instantly lost all feeling in my fingers. But I run hot. So like that's saying something. If I walk into a place and I'm like, this is ridiculously cold. But we all know the type. It's usually an elderly lady that comes in, middle-aged to elderly, that's just like, ooh, oh, am I under a vent? Oh my God, it's so cold in here. Ooh, you must be freezing. And I'm like, no, you can tell by the sweat that none of us are freezing and everyone else in the restaurant seems fine. And then they bring it up a few times. You're like, well, I'll talk to my manager. Manager shuts the air off. They still say that they're freezing. You offer to move them to a different table. You do. And then you come over and they're finally eating. You're like, how is everything? And they're like, everything's delicious. Yeah. When we first sat here, I thought it was better, but now I'm getting another draft. Did you shut the air off? I'm like, yes, we did. And now there's like, it's even stuffier in here and nobody's able to breathe right, but you're still telling us that you're too cold.
See, you're so nice for going and having the manager actually adjust it, because I always say, oh, I'm so sorry about that. Let me go talk to my manager about that. And then I don't, because I don't, if every person came in and requested the temperature to be changed to their liking, that would just be a shitstorm. That's like when people walk in and they sit right in front of a TV playing baseball and they say, can you put football? I don't know sports seasons, but you know, it's...
Were you just struggling to think of another sport besides baseball?
Well, then I was thinking of the seasons.
Football? That's one, right?
Lacrosse? Is lacrosse season going on right now? Can we put that on the TV?
Yeah, the TV thing. I was a bartender at one point, and the TV thing gets really tricky. Like, there's nothing wrong with asking, but a lot of the times the response is, oh, I'm sorry, that person over there is watching the hockey game, or they just had me put on the PGA Tour or whatever. And then people are like, well, you really got to have more TVs. And I'm like, okay, now you're just, like, get over yourself. Like, there's nothing wrong with going into a bar and asking about what's on the TV, but if somebody beat you to it and there's only two TVs and I've got a soccer game on one and golf on the other by request, I'm sorry that I can't put on the college basketball game you were hoping for. You know what I mean?
Totally. We can't accommodate to absolutely every single person to that extent. We are expected to give customer service as far as food, beverage, and just service. But TV, temperature, those are all things that... It's just the temperature thing is my biggest thing, because when they complain about it, And then maybe the air does turn off or whatever. And they still sit there, like, shivering. And it's always just, like, a woman, right? It's some woman and whatever poor man is with her.
We are going full, like, sexism on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen. We are just bashing women for being cold.
But how many men come in and get upset about it being too cold? Usually men run really hot, and they never complain about it being too cold in a place. It's always some woman, and then, anyways...
I will say, like, without, you know, everyone's allowed to have their natural body temperatures, of course. But, like, if you know that you run cold, like, if you know that you're a 90-pound lady that's always shivering anytime you go anywhere that's not outdoors in the sun, bring a sweater. Like, I don't know. I would think that, like, you and I live in California. We have had the Disney pass, so we could go to Disney whenever. And I know that I run hot. So even on days when it's like, oh, it might cool off in the evening, I planned accordingly and was like, you know what? I know me. I know I'm going to be warm. I don't need to bring X, Y, and Z. I'm going to dress for my body and the weather. And I feel like that's not ridiculous, because if you're wearing like a tank top and you're, again, a 90-pound lady that's always shivering, don't go into a restaurant in the summer in your tank top and then whine about how cold it is. Like, plan ahead. Bring a layer. I'm also from New England, and we're all about layers. Anybody who lives in the north knows that layers are everything. Better to have a sweater you don't need than to freeze. But in Southern California, I say fuck jackets, fuck sweaters. I'm fat and a man. I can walk around and I'm comfortable all the time.
All right. You got any other big pet peeves?
Like happy hour. I've worked at places that have happy hour. Great. I've worked at places that don't, and people act like you've punched them when you say you don't have happy hour. When, like, you know, you greet a table and they're like, oh, what's your happy hour? I'm like, oh, actually we don't have any. And they go, oh, okay, well, like, what are your, like, half off drink specials? We don't have any. You don't have drink specials? What kind of place doesn't have happy hour? And then they're all huffy about it. And I'm like, I don't make the rules. I didn't decide on the prices. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. And the thing about happy hour as well is if they actually do have a happy hour, you're going there for the happy hour. You know that it's happening. You know what the specials are. You know what snacks you want. You know what cocktails you're going to get for cheap and with less great or not as high quality liquor, let's be real, with most happy hours. So usually you prepare for that. So you don't just show up to a place and go, what's the special? It's like, don't be surprised if we don't have one. Because if you want a place with a special, you can Google that shit.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. If you're looking for happy hour specials, you go there for happy hour. It's meant to draw people in. You don't just randomly pick a spot, walk in, and then get mad they don't have happy hour.
Yep. Amen. Preach that. Okay. Another pet peeve of mine. I feel like I did it on another episode, but serving a first date. I hate it because you don't know, like, you can always tell when it's a first date because they had just matched on a dating app and it's their first time seeing each other in person and they're both nervous and it's loud and it's awkward and it's like, do I walk up and break the ice or do I let them talk a bit? Or then you go up and then they're talking and they don't want to be rude and look away, so they ignore you. And so then it's like this dance of reading them. And then sometimes they'll sit for like 4 hours talking, or they'll ask you to leave them alone. And then randomly they're like, where's our server? Because they want to go like bang in the parking lot or something. First dates. I hate serving first dates.
Yeah. It can be awkward for sure.
Yeah.
I also, this just came to mind when you were talking about that. It's unrelated, but don't you hate the question when somebody's like, hi, is your French onion like a real French onion? Or is your pastrami like a real pastrami? Is your cocktail sauce like real cocktail sauce? I don't know what you're asking me. Everyone has different preferences about what's supposed to be what. Like, some people think that our French onion is the best it's ever been, and it's true and authentic, and other people be like, oh, this isn't real French onion. So I don't know what to tell you. That's a very subjective question. And it's French onion. French onion is French onion. Yeah, it can be different. I don't know how to explain to you whether or not it's real. It's not plastic. It's not fake.
Yeah. What's the differentiator? When people say real, are they asking, is it all made fresh from scratch in house, or did you open a bag? Is that what that means, maybe?
I think normally it means, like, they have some impression about, like, a real authentic recipe is supposed to have X, Y, and Z. But if that's what they're looking for, then you can ask, like, oh, does your lobster bisque have sherry in it? Yeah, that's a question I can answer. If you say, is your lobster bisque real lobster bisque? I'm like, I don't. It's not imitation crab, if that's what you're asking. I don't know what to tell you. Like, ask me a specific question that I can answer. I hate the, is it real? Like, I don't know what you're asking me.
Yeah, that's pretty frustrating as well. How about guests? Okay. Do you like working here? I fucking hate that question. Because what am I going to say? No, this place is a piece of shit. Our managers suck and my coworkers are lazy.
Yeah, that'll get you a great tip.
I mean, okay. I don't get asked this question too often, but I feel like the people who ask me this question, we've gotten to a point in service where it's not like they're the guest and I'm the server. We've talked about more kind of off the menu things. And sometimes I'll be real. I'll be like, yeah, it's cool. It's not forever, but you know, it's not corporate. I've worked corporate before. That's like something crazy, but yeah, obviously we're not going to bash our restaurant to a guest. What if it's like a undercover? Oh my gosh. Sidetrack here. Pet peeves, having an undercover diner. What's it called?
Secret server? Secret shopper. What's it called? Mystery shopper. Secret shopper. God. I like yours totally better though. It sounds like Law and Order undercover diner. Bum bum.
Secret shoppers. I fucking hate secret shoppers. I've gotten into so many write-up situations because of a secret shopper, and it wasn't even my fault.
This sounds a little fishy. Why are you always getting trouble with secret shoppers and then saying it's not your fault? What happens?
Well, like, this one time, ready? We're about to call him out again. Matt. So, Matt...
We've mentioned Matt seven times on this podcast. We need to have him on.
I know. I've been texting him about it. I think that we need to plan an episode with him. I think he's down so everybody can know who we're talking about. So Matt was working the AM shift and I came in as his release on the PM and a table had sat and he was waiting for me to come in. So he was kind of like, you know, basic greeting, gave him some waters, but didn't dive into service. And so as soon as I came on the floor, everybody else from the AM decided that they were done working. So I was expected to start taking everything. So I did my best to make that money and kind of relieve them because they had a crazy morning. And this one specific table, I remember I was frantic because I was in a really shitty position and I was trying to juggle so many tables. They asked me about soup, like they asked if I could tell them about soups, and I don't know, we had like four that day, so I kind of described one that was my favorite, kind of pushing them to that, like I don't want to go over all the soups, I'm swamped right now, I'd been there for 5 minutes and I was sweating my titties off already. So I gave them very basic quick service because I was trying to juggle like 12 tables at once. Nothing terrible happened, but I got the nastiest review, and because they were secret shoppers, and my manager sat me down and literally lectured me for an hour. And I felt so bad because I was sitting there rolling my eyes and I was like, I was talking to our manager. I was like, dude, I've been doing this job for 10 years. I know exactly what I did wrong. I know what I could have done better. This was just like a really fluke situation. Yeah. Like I shouldn't be getting yelled at. And he was trying to lecture me for like an hour. So secret shoppers. Do we need them? Do we really need them?
I mean, I understand from like the perspective of people at the top of a business why they're valuable, but it is tough because it's a random sample, right? Like you can have 12 tables and 11 of them would have given you 100% glowing reviews, but you have a weird instance at one of your tables, and that if that turns out to be your secret shopper, yeah, you're fucked. So, I mean, that's the point, is that it's meant to be like random sampling, but it's not always a fair reflection of you as an employee or your service style, because sometimes there are variables like you're spread too thin, or the kitchen didn't tell you they were out of something, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? It feels really unfair.
Yeah, I feel that. It's just always the most dreadful when you're doing a pre-shift and your manager's like, all right, guys, it's the end of the month. We're expecting our secret shopper any hour now. So be on your game. That's when I'm like, I'm sick. I need to go home.
It is funny, too, when they always warn you. Like, well, we're overdue for an audit or a mystery shop, so everyone be on your best game. Or, oh, they've hit a few of our neighbor restaurants with random health inspections, so we need to make sure that we're absolutely on top of everything being spotless and no food or drink in the work area and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, okay.
That's a pet peeve, too, working when the health inspector is there, because we've all done it. You've all been going about your business, trying to just do your job, and then the health inspector fucking surprise shows up, and then you're washing your hands more than you normally would, which is a good thing. And obviously with restaurants reopening, that's going to be the new norm. We're all going to have to be acting like the health inspector is there 24/7, because let's be real, us in the industry, we do our best to follow the steps of service, follow hygiene and protocol for all of that. But we know that something slipped between the cracks, and you know this because if you've been working and the health inspector shows up, you feel a difference. The managers act different. The servers act different.
Yeah.
Everybody acts like they are the most health conscious, germophobic people ever. But when they're not there, that's not usually the case.
Yeah. And a disclaimer for our non-restaurant employee listeners. I have worked at every one of the restaurants I've worked at, I would gladly eat at. Even though, yes, there are things that we know we could step up when the health inspector's on site. So it's not like we're all disgusting. It's just that it's not totally practical when you're busy and you've got to meet these fast demands and crank things out to, you know, do everything exactly by the book and sterilize and wash your hands as often as you're supposed to and all that stuff. I mean, obviously now that's why so much is changing and going back to work is going to look different. But don't listen to this and cringe and think, oh my God, restaurants are all absolutely disgusting, because they're not. We're not like doing super gross things, and all of us still would eat there. It's just we do have to sometimes cut little corners just to be practical and get our jobs done. And then when the health inspector comes, it's like, nope, now we all act like we're robots and we're in a training video and this is how we do things all the time. And it's like, no, it ain't.
Yep. And part of the reason I don't want to go back to work is because it's going to be like the health inspector's there all the time, and for good fucking reason. I mean, with this virus still not contained or whatever, that's what needs to happen. And
the trade-off then is like, yeah, we can all do that and adapt our serving style, but the quality of service and the speed of service is going to suffer a little bit. And that's the trade-off, is if you want us to be by the book, overly cautious, super hygienic, which is of the utmost importance right now, then the trade-off is slower service. Things are going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah, slower service or not slower service, because they're going there for the service. I think the reality of it is that we're not going to have big sections. You're going to have like 3 tables and you're going to have to perfect them and, you know, give such great service that you're offended if it's only like a 20% tip. But I feel like the whole tip culture, I don't know. A bunch of restaurants are open right now as we're recording this. Well, outside of the protests that are currently happening. But a lot of the restaurants are like packed. Like a bunch of restaurants are busy and they're not following protocol, and they are making money. So my prediction that people were going to be too scared to dine is not the case in a lot of places. A lot of fearless people going out there right now.
Yeah. It's true. It's all over the place. What else can we bitch about? What else do you hate?
Oh, all right. What else do I hate? Okay. I hate when managers get on power trips. Managers get in these moods where You're like, okay, it's slow. We're not going to get busy. I want to be cut. If I ask now, he's going to say no and then make me stay even longer, right? So we all know the game of, okay, who's managing? Who's my direct manager right now? What mood are they in? How do I phrase it to them to make them think that it was their idea without the reverse psychology happening?
Yeah.
The worst is when you know that you should be cut and a manager knows that you know that and you say it first and then they get in this like high honcho mode and they're like, nah, you're gonna, and then they fucking make you stay way longer than necessary.
Yeah. Every restaurant I've worked at, there's like when the server decides they're cut and everyone kind of agrees, like it's a group decision. And then there's when the manager finally cuts you. And yep. But on the flip side, there are those servers that like decide their cut prematurely, in my opinion. Like there are those times where like, I don't want to take any more tables. And I'm like, really? Because the dining room was completely full 2 seconds ago. And just because you had three tables get up doesn't mean that you can just stop. So that's annoying. But yeah. When there is that like collective sense of like somebody says, you know what? I think, is it cool with you guys if I stop taking tables? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, totally. We're over it. Get out of here. And then, like, 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, a manager comes up and is like, hey, you're cut. You're like, yeah, great, awesome. But if we don't do that ourselves, then that person would have been sat another rotation in that 15 minutes. And then it's like, now I'm here for another hour and a half, 2 hours, because the manager cut me 15 minutes after I should have been cut. You know what I mean?
Totally. Or just with, like, the power trip thing. The floor can decide to cut somebody. They're starting to do their side work, you know, so everybody can be where they want to be. The manager sees what's happening without their approval, and then they get in their power trip, and then they put them on the floor and make them take one more table. You know, I've seen that happen too. And it's like, come on, dude.
Yeah, where they say no, you're taking that. And you're like, well, so-and-so said they could take it. And they're like, I don't care. I'm the manager. You're taking it. And then you're there for your two top that's power trip. Also talking about cuts, this has happened to me a couple times at various restaurants where I like my coworkers, I get along with everybody, a lot of us are friends, and I'll show up for a dinner shift where I was supposed to be first out, but I can tell that the person who came in after me is not feeling well, and I'm like, you know what, I'll stay for you, no big deal. And then something happens with the next person and they're like, oh, I hurt my foot, or I'm having an emotion I just got broken up with. And you're like, they're like, please, 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 will you stay? And you're like, I really don't want to, but fine, I'll stay. And then the way it's now, it's just like you and the closer or whatever. And then you're like, cool, at least I can just get the fuck out of here now. And then the closing server gets like six tables. And then they're like, we have to seat you. I'm so sorry. And so then you're like, cool. So I was supposed to be first out and now I'm closing. Awesome. Because I tried.
Connor, this happens to you so much.
It's happened to me quite a few times in my restaurant career. And I don't know what I do wrong. But maybe it's some of that, but on the same token, like, I don't think it's often that I show up and I'm like, I can't be here, but we all know that I have a shitty immune system. And so when I do show up and I'm starting to get sick, or I tell someone, like, guys, I'm really not feeling well, people will often return the favor, which is nice. I've rarely run into an instance where somebody was like, no, I'm not staying for you, because I think it's because I try to be helpful as often as I can. And every time I've been like, guys, I'm crashing, people are like, here, go home. So I guess it's karma. But yeah, there have been many an instance and many different restaurants I've worked at where I'm like, how am I closing? What the hell?
And I feel like I was the cause of this too once. I feel like we were working a Friday night and I don't know, I was like second or third out or something, and I was on my phone like a bad employee, and my ex-boyfriend, he apparently had found a new girlfriend, or one of his friends posted a video of him making out with some new chick, and I saw this on a busy Friday night while I was looking at my phone, had just like a full mental breakdown. So everybody working that night, they're like, okay, we'll just get you out of here, it's fine. I was just like a wreck. And then the girl after me, she got like a migraine and threw up. And then the girl after me, something else happened, and I just fucked everyone over. I feel like you might have been there that night as well. Maybe you're the one that got fucked.
I remember that night, but I don't remember what happened to me in that rearranging. But I mean, it happens, right? And especially when you're friends with everybody and these are people you know and care about. If I saw you burst into tears, I would tell you to go home. And if I saw one of our other friends throw up, I'd tell you to go home. It's just, it's a give and take. But I think just while we're on the topic of pet peeves, it came to mind. It was like, I'm sure all of the servers and listening can relate to this, where you're like, how did I go from first out to being a late or a closer? Like, what the fuck?
For real. It's the worst. All right. I have one more pet peeve before we call it wraps.
All right, I'm ready.
So when you finally get somebody to cover that shift that you've been trying to get covered for weeks, right? And it's the day of your event that you're going to or whatever, and the manager either denies the request for whatever fucking reason, hours, or just because they don't want that person working that night, or the person that is working for you fucking bails last minute, comes up with some bullshit. Oh, I gotta wash my hair. That drives me crazy when you spend all this time and energy and then somebody finally is like, yes, I can work for you. And then that falls through and then you have to actually go to work.
It's the worst.
Those are the worst feeling. Shifts.
The worst feeling.
Yes. Ugh, and the whole shift, you're like, fuck this. I shouldn't be here.
You show up and you're just so angry. It's just a lose-lose. Oh, my God. Yeah, I think that might be the single worst thing.
And, it's a good note to end on.
Yeah, and also, like, it makes you so mad at management, too, when it's, like, been sitting there unapproved for, like, 48 hours. You know what I mean? And you're like, all right, well, so-and-so said they'd pick it up, so we're in the clear. But then you check hot schedules, and you're like, okay. And then you text the manager, and they're like, yeah, I know, I see it, I'll get to it. And you're like, all right. And then, you touch base with your server that agreed to pick it up at the last minute, and they're like, yeah, it should be fine. I'm like, should be fine? Because you picked this up 2 days ago. And they're like, yeah, well, my friend got concert tickets, so I'm so sorry, I can't work your shift. And then they cancel the pickup, and I'm like, oh my God, what just happened?
Yep. That's the worst. I feel like everybody's been fucker monkeyed like that. Is fucker monkeyed a word? I like that word. Fucker monkeyed.
Sure.
Fucker monkeyed.
Trademark it.
Sure. I started drinking right before we recorded this episode. I'm only halfway down my second beer, but fucker monkey. You're fine. That's a fun word to say.
Okay, sure. But yeah, that's a terrible feeling, and you're just like, why? Why is my life this bad? What did I do to deserve this?
Oh, guys, we love serving. We love our jobs. We love people. Let's not get that confused with this hour of bitching we have just done.
I think all the people that are ahead of LA in terms of going back to work are probably feeling this so much already. They're like, you know, yeah, we had a month and a half or whatever away from this place. And now they listen to this episode and go, yep, experienced all of these things since I've been back to work. Fuck my life. But these are just, healthy to bitch. It's healthy to vent. We serve, we know why we serve. Good money, good people. That's what it's about.
Yes, we have chosen this job for our lifestyle, and these are just the downfalls that we deal with for that quick cash.
Yeah, it ain't easy. Did
up until now. Yeah, it ain't easy. Oh, God, I'm spitzing right now. Well, guys, we know that it's still weird times right now, but we're going to make it through this. We see some light at the end of the tunnel. Just keep taking things one day at a time. Stay positive. Stay productive. Check in with your family and friends. Tell them that you love them, along with your coworkers. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at the Server Life Podcast. And make sure that you're tagging us on all of your Instagram stories so that we can reshare them. And also make sure to go leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It definitely makes our day. It is the virtual equivalent of a tip. And so many of you have gone into Apple and have given us incredible reviews. And I cried reading them recently. So thank you for everybody who's done that. And I cried. There are some really nice ones on there. Have you gone and read? This is our art, and people are hearing us.
Oh, this is art now. We are artists. What we are doing is giving the world beautiful art. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
yes, Con.
Don't I also appreciate the love. I love the comments. We love hearing what you have to say, but I will not say that I've cried, and I am judging Presley for it.
All right, whatever. I'll be the crier. It's fine.
You're the drunk and the crier.
Put it on my grave.
All right, let's wrap this up.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Bye.